ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto, chapter 8. And today's text is supposed to be 17. If we can get there. Satyam Viratam Nija Pritya Pashitam Vyaptim Cha Bhuteshu Akileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyatatyad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stampe Sapayam Na Mrigam Na Manisham. It's very hard to see in the slide. That's why I bring my computer. Let's see if I can find a verse right now. Okay, much better. Satyang viratung nija bhritya bhashitam Vyaptim cha bhuteshu akileshu chatmanaha Adrishyatatyad bhutarupam udvahan Stambe sabhayam namrgam namanusham Satyang viratung nija bhritya bhashitam Vyaptim cha bhuteshu akileshu chatmanaha Adrishyatatyad bhutarupam udvahan Stambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusham Satyang viratum nija bhritya bhashitam Vyapting shabhute shakileshu chatmana Adrishyatadyat bhuttarupam udvahan Stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. Please chant. Adrishyatatyad bhutarupam udvahan Stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham Vaishnavis. Okay, word meaning satyam, true, vidhatam, to prove, nija britya bhashitam, the words of his own servant, Prahlad Maharaj, who had said that his Lord is present everywhere, vyaptim, the pervasion, cha, and Bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements. Akhileshu, all. Cha, also. Atmanaha, of himself. Adrishyata, was seen. Ati, very. Adbhuta, wonderful. Rupam, form. Udvahan, taking. Stampe, in the pillar. Sabhayam, within the assembly. Na, not. Mrigam, an animal. Na, nor. Manasham, a human being. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Please repeat, to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in that pillar, in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as a half lion and half man so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Pranashiti. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, quote, "Don't worry, I am present here," end of quote. By manifesting his form as Narsinghadev, note, Narsinghadev, not Nisringhadev, there is no Shring in there. His form as Narsinghadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pratarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschachade Shtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this fearlessness exhibited by Prahlad is also Adbhuta. It's also wonderful. It cannot be purchased. It's not ordinary fearlessness. It's not even a fearlessness that comes with self-realization. When one realizes itself as being different from the material body, one naturally becomes no longer afraid of dying because, you know, I'm eternal. But this level of fearlessness that Prahlad is exhibiting is beyond even that. This is the level of fearlessness exhibited by one who's constantly in contact, direct contact with the Supreme Lord. Constantly in direct contact. It cannot be imitated on the material plane. As we've seen, even the best protected individuals sometimes get harmed. We've had so many presidents who've been assassinated and injured. Even though they were surrounded by Secret Service and so many guns and guys looking in every direction and they have their little, you know, things coming out of their ears, and they still can't protect. They cannot protect. Prahlad says in his prayer that if one does not have the favor of Lord Nrsingadeva, then one cannot be protected in any way. The parents cannot protect the child from harm. A strong boat cannot protect you from drowning in the ocean. And the best doctors and the best medicines cannot cure you if you don't have the favor of Lord Nrsingadeva. And he's had the favor of Lord Nrsingadeva directly, so he's not afraid of anything. Fear is a topic that's very much in the public mind right now, especially here in Los Angeles, because of this crazy fellow, this policeman Dorner, who has vowed to exact revenge on the LAPD for wrongs real or imagined. So this one guy with a bunch of guns is terrorizing a whole city. And the threat is very real. Obviously, he's already killed 3 people and critically injured another person. So, you know, the threat is very real. Maybe some of you have been sleeping at the news wheel, so you don't know. But this person who had been fired from the LAPD has gone on a rampage. And he was, previously before becoming a cop, he was in the military for 10 years. And he was trained in counterterrorism. So he's a very, very dangerous guy. He's a very, very dangerous guy. He's already proven that. He's misled them. He's burned his truck up in Big Bear. And so they were looking for him all up there. But he's, meanwhile, showed up somewhere else. And very, very expert in what he's trying to do. But what is he going to achieve? By killing somebody. You don't achieve anything by killing anyone. And this is what Hiranyakashipu himself is not realizing. Even if he was able to kill Prahlad, what have you achieved? Because you can't really kill anyone. Everyone is eternal. You can destroy their material body, but the death of the material body is already guaranteed. As soon as you take birth, it's just a matter of time before you get taken out of that body, and the body is destroyed. So to kill someone, supposedly kill someone, is not a great achievement, Prabhupada used to say. They're so proud of their scientific advancement, nuclear weapons, but all they're doing is accelerating death, which is already guaranteed. If you're a real scientist, come up with a way of preventing death so nobody will die. That's real science. If you can prevent people from dying, that's real science. What's the use of Being so proud of making big, big weapons that you can kill more people at a time. So what? Nature, material nature, is already fully equipped to do that. This planet that we are living on, this Earth planet, is a living organism. It's not just some inert matter. Just like our bodies are alive because we're there. So similarly, there's a soul of this planet. And we know that just in living, we kill so many living entities every day by taking bath, by eating, by sneezing, by everything we do practically, we're killing so many living entities. So when you multiply that on a grand scale, everything that the Earth does practically, she has a little sneeze, an eruption of some volcano, and so many living entities die. She washes her body with a little ocean water and tsunami, so many people die. So death is not, to kill is not a big accomplishment. The real big accomplishment is to save, to protect. So Lord Rishingadeva is the incarnation to prove that, that absolute protection. We all say that, you know, off the top of our tongues, you know, Rakhe Krishna Marike, Marike Krishna Rakhe. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. But Prahlad is the living example of that. His father was terrorizing or had terrorized the entire universe, and everybody was afraid of being killed by him. And he was not afraid of dying because he had benedictions, so he can't die in so many ways. So Lord Krishna appears in this form, as it's mentioned here in the name Hari. What does Hari mean? One who takes away. So in this case, he's going to take away a lot of things from Hiranyakashipu, up to and including his life. He's going to take away this misconception that you can harm my devotee. Without my permission, you can't harm even an ant, what to speak of my devotee. Nowadays, you know, especially with so many horrible things happening all around the world, again, people lose faith. Especially, you know, recently in Connecticut, so many young children were shot to death. People lose faith. If there's a God, how can God allow such things to happen? So there's a joke going around. I mean, it's a joke, but it's an instructive joke. That a child was saying, but if there's a God, God, if you're there, how could you allow such a horrible thing to happen? And God said, well, my child, I'm sorry, they keep me out of the schools. So this is what's going on. We want to keep God at arm's length or as far away as possible when things are going good. And then as soon as something goes wrong, we want to blame God. If you're there, how could you let this happen? If you're there, how could you let my father die, my mother die, so many children die? So this is one of the areas in which devotees have to be prepared to preach very strongly. A devotee is God's emissary in the world. And so we know what God's plan is. You're supposed to know anyway. He makes it very clear himself in the Bhagavad Gita. But most people in the world, even some who grow up with the Bhagavad Gita, like in India, so many people grow up with Bhagavad Gita and they don't know A, B, C of Bhagavad Gita. They don't know what it's about. Maybe it's just some nice, you know, moral instruction handed down from eons ago. No, it's beyond that. It's beyond just moral instruction. So Krishna explains himself in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains that just as he himself is unborn, Ajopi Sanavyatma Bhutanam Ishwaropi San, Prakritim Samadhishtaya Sambhavam Atma Mayaya. Krishna explains that he is Aja, unborn, and a living entity. We're also unborn. The difference is because we're minute, we can fall into this materialistic consciousness of thinking ourselves to be a product of matter, and therefore we become fearful. So Prahlad Maharaj, even at 5 years old, is setting this Adbhuta, this wonderful example of fearlessness, because he knows, first of all, full well, he's fully realized, I'm not this material body. So even if you can kill this material body, you can't kill me. But even beyond that, again, he's completely compact. He's completely sold out to Lord Nrisimhadev, to Lord Krishna. And that brings him to a higher platform of fearlessness. It's just like when you're a child being in the lap of the mother, not afraid of anything or anyone. As soon as away from the mother, then becomes fearful. So the devotee, the pure devotee who is seeing Krishna everywhere, who is in touch with Krishna at every moment, is like that, completely fearless. Because they know, Krishna is in control of everything. again, I've said this many times, but it's stuck in my mind. If you watch that tape of Prabhupada's departure, one of the last things that he says is, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. So if we claim to be Krishna conscious, then we have to know that. Krishna is in complete control of every situation. Even if it seems that it's a so-called reversal, because we have an idea of what we want to see happen, and it's not happening. So we see that as a reversal of fortune. But Krishna's in control, even of that so-called reversal of fortune. He's in control. And this is what the pure devotees show us, that they know that Krishna's in control. Prahlad knew Krishna's in control of this situation. My father's coming at me with a sword. He's angry at me. He's determined to kill me. But Krishna's in control of this situation. I have nothing to be afraid of. And therefore, he just, ordinary conversational tone. Hiranyakashipu asked him a question. Where is your Lord? Is he here? Yes, he's here. No fear. No hesitation. No, well, maybe, no. He knew. He's here. I have nothing to be afraid of. So we have the opportunity, if we follow this path chalked out by Prahlad Maharaj and his descendant acharyas, we can come to this point also of being completely fearless in all situations. Even if we ran into this rogue cop and he's standing there before us with, you know, his assault rifles, and I'm sure he has a wonderful arsenal of weapons out there. Again, the guy's very determined and he's very smart and trained. That's why they're so afraid of him. He's trained. The police chief was interviewed and he said, yes, he's good because we trained him. So they're afraid. They're afraid of this guy. He's trained by the police and trained by the military in counterterrorism. So he knows how to think like a terrorist. And he's proving it. He's proving it. A really bad guy. I mean, you should know what he looks like and be prepared to, you know, run away if you run into this character. This guy is really heavy duty. You know, and over-perceived wrong. This is why another thing that's very important to learn from this lesson that's going on there is forgiveness. He wrote some long manifesto that he posted on Facebook about why he's doing what he's doing. And one of the things that spurred him is that when he was a boy, the guy's, what, I don't know how old he's, 30-something, 40-something, he's not a youngster. But when he was a boy, he went to a Christian school. He was probably the only black person there. And they picked on him. Somebody called him the N-word, and he never forgot that. He never forgot that. He got into a fight with the guy, beat him up, and the principal chastised him, even though he was the one that was wronged. And he never forgot that. So this is unbrahminical. This is not devotee-like. Devotee should not hold on to grudges. Sometimes I'm shocked in our society. You run into somebody, Prabhupada disciple, and they're still seething over something that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago in the ashram. My God. This is really, really foolish. This is really, really, you're destroying your own life by holding on to stuff like that. Really. That means if you don't realize that that person who wronged you 20 years or 30 years ago has made progress in life, that means you haven't made any progress. Because if you've made some progress in your spiritual life, then you automatically realize the other party must have made some progress too. So how can I be mad at them for it? But literally, people are mad. How can this person be a guru? How can this person be a GBC? I remember 30 years ago he said such and such to me, or she said such and such. Come on. Seriously, wake up. And get serious about becoming Krishna conscious. Because if you're a little bit Krishna conscious, you can't hold on to these kinds of grudges and, you know, vendettas and... This is completely undevotee-like. Undevotee-like. So this is what's eating this person. These perceived wrongs in his life. When he was a boy, he got, you know, insulted. And when he was in the police department, you know, they treated him unfairly and fired him. And therefore, he's going to kill. Just see the, you know, base motivation. And so we have to keep guard against that. Because this is what happens. The modes of material nature are not a party. You know, even after we take the devotional service, we think we can play with the modes. You know, I'll just dabble a little bit in the mode of passion and throw in a little pinch of ignorance once in a while. You can't. You can't play with the modes because they consume you. They propel you to do things like Arjuna says in the third chapter, even against your will, even if you know better. The mode of passion, lust, is so heavy that it will push you to do things that you later regret. Persons like this guy, completely under the modes of nature, he's thinking that he's in control, he's doing what he wants to do, but he's just being pushed along. When I speak in the colleges, I liken the modes of nature to different radio stations. As you know, there's a wide spectrum of radio stations. There's this channel that plays nothing but classical music all day. And then there's heavy, you know, rock stations, and then there's the rap stations, and there's the talk stations. So being in the modes of nature is like being tuned into one particular station. And if all you hear all day is this particular radio station, you're going to act according to what that station tells you to do. They're going to tell you, go out and buy, you know, this drink and don't buy that drink. And you're going to act like that. You're going to think it's your free will. Yeah, I like this one. I don't like that one. I want to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to go here. I don't want to go there. You're thinking that you're acting freely, but you're just being pushed by the modes of nature, just like tuning into one radio station all the time. You're going to do what that station tells you to do. You're going to favor this political party or like this drink or whatever because you're being told at every moment what to do and you simply buy into it. Yes, 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 that's a good idea. That sounds great. It's my idea. No, you're simply tuned into one particular mode of nature, which is infinitely mixable, as we know. So being a devotee, taking to the process of Krishna consciousness means an opportunity to rise above that. To rise above that, to tune into the Krishna station, where you hear it every moment, what Guru and Krishna says, and you do it. And then you're protected. Then we're protected. And we don't fall into this kind of situation like this guy, walking around seething about things that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Completely off the wall. Completely off the wall. And then his neighbors, just as typically, I had no idea. How could he be like this? He was such a nice guy. Policeman. A Navy veteran. Wonderful guy. Kept his truck impeccably clean. How could he do stuff like this? People are surprised all the time. But this is what happens when you're under the modes of nature. For some time, you look great, like everything is all right. And then one day, Maya says, do that. Now is the time. This is your opportunity to get back, to get your revenge. And then you do it, and then people wonder, why? Why is that happening? So again, the modes of nature are not a party. And as devotees, we should be fully aware of that. Try not to, again, fall under the control of the material energy. And be prepared to explain to people why it is that bad things are happening in the world. It's not God's fault. Krishna has given us the opportunity to come here and reform ourselves. First of all, to act out our fantasy of wanting to be God. And then when we realize, or should realize quickly, that that's not a fact, we're just competing with so many other so-called gods, then to reform ourselves, reform our consciousness and qualify ourselves to go back to home, back to Godhead. If we don't take advantage of that, who can we blame? You can't blame Krishna. Can't blame Krishna. Just like the story I told on Sunday about that guy, you know, in a town that was flooding. When the flood reached up to the doorstep, the cops were coming by in SUVs. Everybody come out. The town is going to flood. He said, no, God will save me. So then the waters went higher. He had to go up to his attic, and they sent boats out. Hey, come on out. It's serious. Come on. He said, no, God will save me. Then he went up to the roof. Water got so high, he had to go up on his roof. They sent helicopters. Come on, we'll take you. No, God will save me. So finally he drowned. And then when he got to see God, he said, why didn't you save me? God said, I sent a car, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter. So we have to be intelligent. We have to use whatever God sends us to save us. You know, God has sent us the Hare Krishna movement to save us from these kind of horrible activities and reactions. Who can we blame if we don't take advantage? Can't blame anybody. Can't blame anybody. So Prahlad Maharaj, again, is showing this a level of wonderful, inimitable fearlessness. Inimitable, but yes, it's achievable. We can achieve that high level of fearlessness if we become pure devotees of Krishna. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Jobs. that like deviating from the spiritual life, being passionate in the jobs?
To be active doesn't necessarily mean to be passionate. If you looked at Prabhupada's level of activity, it would seem that he was propelled by passion. Even as an elderly person, 70 years old, he was moving so quickly that 24-year-olds couldn't keep up with him. The devotees were like gasping for breath, trying to keep up with Prabhupada, running here and there, doing things. So from an external point of view, it seems that this is passionate activity. But it's not. It's not. It's activity completely meant to satisfy Krishna and completely in accordance with Krishna's desire. So one can be a pure devotee in whatever situation one is in. Look at Arjuna. Arjuna had to kill. What could be more apparently passionate than killing? And that's old-fashioned, old-school killing. Not nowadays where you sit in a control bunker somewhere and you control an unmanned vehicle and you shoot rockets to kill people on the ground. Not that kind of killing. This is the kind of killing where you face the person you're killing and you chop their head off. How much more passionate could you be from the material point of view? But it's not passion because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. He's doing it on Krishna's order. So Prabhupada pointed out, somebody asked Prabhupada once about that. Then I'm working and I'm with the karmis and it all seems like, material activity. And Prabhupada said, no, you are working to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, it is not material. It is spiritual. So that's what you have to check. If you're working, and you're allowed to maintain your family, that's part of pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. If you're working to maintain your family and using also some of the fruit of that activity for pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement, then that's not passion. That's devotional service. And devotional service is beyond the modes of nature. Clear? Aribo. Yes, Yashadev Prabhu.
Thank you for the Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice lecture about fearlessness. I've heard it said that Srila Prabhupada once very charitably said, the only difference between myself and my disciples is that I'm afraid of Maya, whereas these devotees are not afraid of Maya. And then we're hearing an example of another pure devotee, Srila Prahlad Maharaj, who, as you described, is fearless. I'm sure there's some sort of reconciliation for that. Could you please indulge in that?
Prahlad himself said, I don't want to forget you, that I'm afraid of that. But so when a devotee says afraid, it's not in the sense that we're afraid of dying and stuff like that. It's not like that. Prabhupada is not afraid in that sense. He was aware of, let's put it that way. The pure devotees are aware of the potency of Maya, because Maya is also a pure devotee. The material energy personified is also a pure devotee of Krishna. And pure devotees are extremely powerful. Prabhupada said that, once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about why didn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a pure devotee of the Lord, why didn't he spread the Krishna consciousness movement all around the world? And Prabhupada said, he's Vaishnav, he's all powerful, he could have done it, but he left something for us to do. So the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees, they know the power of another pure devotee. They respect it, that power. So that's the mood that Prabhupada is saying it in. Not in the mood of being, not like that. But in a mode of respecting and wanting us to learn that respect also. It's disrespectful. If you don't recognize the power the material energy has for controlling you, then that's being disrespectful. It's like prisoners, they go to jail. They're completely controlled. But out of disrespect, they have no respect for the prison authorities and they act like they're big men. And every moment they're being kicked. Get up, go to sleep, eat, don't eat. Every moment they're under control, but they're so foolish, they're disrespectful. So we're like that. Out of foolishness, out of disrespect for the material energy, we get burned. So the pure devotees want us to understand that you're dealing with a pure devotee, a very powerful pure devotee of the Lord when you're dealing with the material energy. So you should at least have some awareness and some respect. And if we can get to that level of awareness and respect for the material energy, then we can save ourselves a lot of trouble. But out of ignorance and disrespect, we think we can play around again with Maya and, dabble in the mode of passion and throw in a little bit of ignorance. And then we get burned and we wonder why. Okay. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
teachers in your office, whatever the capacity is. That's the most asked question